Hallelujah. Let's go to God's Word. I'm going to pray and just get your Bibles out. Man, I'm excited about this message. Father, I just ask that you would just fill this atmosphere with your presence, authentically causing us to have our minds renewed. I pray that you'd be with my mouth and help me, use me as an instrument to bring help and insight. I pray a spirit of wisdom and revelation and a clear knowledge of you, that we would be doers of your Word. And not just hearers who delude themselves, that we would take action on the vital issues that really matter most. God, help us to press into new levels. Teach us things from your Word, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I went on a trip and I borrowed a copy of The Blue Planet. And it was about the ocean. On my laptop computer, I punched in the deep ocean. The narrator said that the majority of the Earth's surface is covered with water. I knew that. But then he said the biggest ecosystem on Earth is the deep ocean. He said more people have gone to space than they have gone to the deep ocean. And they said every time people go down in those submarines, they find a new species. But what I got out of it was that there's so much in God and in life that we don't know about. We kind of have a smug culture. At this point, we're here, you know, and everything else is past. There's just a lot more we can learn. And I want to go deep into God's Word tonight, and I want to see some things, and I want to learn, because I want to be effective in my life. I see in the Scriptures, and I want to go to Psalm 1 and James 1, about blessing on people that really, really dig deep and go after it. Psalm 1, we're going to, in fact, look at all six verses, mainly focusing on the first three. And I just want to talk to you about walking in the blessings of God. The blessings of God are available to us, but it requires responsible action. In Psalm 1, it talks about the do's and don'ts if you want to walk in the blessings of God. He said, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." Now, a lot of time could be spent on those don'ts. But I think it's interesting that the most famous songbook in the world, the Book of Psalms, has this layout. And it starts right out with, watch how you stand, sit, and walk, and not live in the path of sinners or the counsel of the wicked. You know, we read in Romans 12 that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what the will of God is. We've got a real battle on our hands, and that's the battle. The battle's with our flesh. The battle's with an unrenewed mind. The battle's with living in sensory input and contending for what we're going to really walk in. And this talks about what we're not to walk in. We're not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. The ungodly, morally wrong, troublemaking, that's what some of the Hebrew definition would be of the wicked. We're not to live in that or be steeped in that type of counsel. We got to watch what we counsel with. The world, you know, in Isaiah, he foretold that there'd be a time when people would call evil good and good evil. It's so whacked out. We've got to let the plumb line of God's Word bring us back into an understanding heart, an understanding mind. Then it says in verse 2, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water," look at this, "which will yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers." So the New Century Version says, "Everything they do will succeed." Now that reminds me of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, being careful to do all that's written in it, for then you're going to make your way prosperous. You're going to have good success." That's what he told Joshua. He said, only be strong and very courageous. And the predicating point was to meditate on the Word day and night so that you're careful to do what is written in it. Now, meditation, this word meditate here, is an interesting word. It's not like what we would think of in English. It's a word in Hebrew, hagah, which means to murmur, to ponder, to imagine, to speak, to study, to talk, and to utter. The other day I was in the Los Angeles airport and I saw an ultra-Orthodox Jewish man with a prayer shawl. He had a box on his forehead which contained the scriptures, in the middle of this environment, and he was rocking and reading the word and praying. And that's really more what this Hebrew word means for meditation. Back, apparently, during the time of David, this interesting type of prayer was present, where it wasn't just meditating where it's strictly imagination. It also involved speaking the word. I've seen this at the Wailing Wall in Israel, where these committed, observant Jews are reading the scriptures and they're rocking and they're speaking it out of their mouth. So really what this psalm is saying is that as we meditate, it incorporates not just our thought processes, it also incorporates us speaking the word out of our lips. Now, how many of you want to be blessed in whatever you do? Okay, then I'm talking to the right crowd, because this is in fact what the writer of Psalms was trying to get over. And we know the writer of Psalms was inspired by the Holy Spirit and that the scripture is inspired by God. So actually God is trying to get this over, not only to the Jews, but also to Christians. He wants us to be blessed, not just in some things we do, but in whatever we do. Now that whatever we do is a mouthful, because that would then include everything. Relationships, work, finances, our physical anatomy, our spiritual position, you know, our relationships with friends. It goes, I mean, leave no stone unturned. When you're the planting of the Lord, when you are walking with God, according to these scriptures, God wants to prosper us in whatever we do. Is that okay that I say that? Yeah. Psalm 23 said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is our provider." And when you see this, listen, it really denotes something about success. Now, these aren't success principles. These aren't like how to get rich quick schemes. These aren't superficial little methodologies. This is actually quite deep. Because what it's really saying is when you get your roots in God, he said, you're like a tree planted by rivers of water and your leaves will not wither. I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley from Atlanta. And he mentioned, you know, he's preaching this simple message and he says, your leaves won't wither. And it just hit me. And I was, you know, as I'm old, getting older, and I, you know, the idea of my leaves withering is, you know, kind of present. The more I look in the mirror, the more I look like my grandpa, you know, so I'm thinking. And then Psalm 92 said, when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you're going to flourish in the garden of your God. So there's something about being plugged into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There's something about being planted in a life-giving church and being plugged in and the effect that this has. But look at verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I was on another flight with another Orthodox observant Jew, and he had these big books and he was studying in Hebrew. We had a great talk. Talked for about an hour. And at the end of the hour he said, "Are you a Jew?" And I said, no, man, I'm a Christian. He went, oh, and he freaked out, you know, because we were having a really engaging conversation, you know. He was oy vey when he realized I was a Gentile. But boy, did we, I was reading the scriptures to him, and he was, you know, and I was showing him Psalm 27 and everything. And I was really impressed with his passion. I could hear him muttering and speaking in Hebrew, and I could see him studying and taking the word seriously. That's what I want you to see. I'll finish this because I said I would. The wicked are not so. So this really, you know, all of Proverbs is a contrast between the righteous and the wicked. This psalm really makes a clarification. How blessed is the man? This five-word statement. It follows up with what you don't do, and then it tells you what you do. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of scoffers. The Hebrew word for scoffer, somebody who's so arrogant, they've got it all figured out. They're the critic. They're the end in themselves. I've seen this in Christianity. I've seen people get in the seat of the scoffer and block the blessings of God out of their lives by scoffing, by critiquing, by having this analytical, self-absorbed finality about them. We just say, well, I have my final answer. And God is way smarter than the smartest person ever has been. So we don't need to put our posterior in the seat of the scoffer. Unsit your seat out of the seat of the scoffer. Don't get in a scoffing spirit. Get out of the path of sinners. I mean, we're to reach out and engage with the world, but we're not to be of it. You know, there's a real press that God's called us to walk in a manner worthy of Him. Not to take counsel with the world, with the wicked. It's all skewed. And we've got to learn to take our counsel from the Lord. How blessed is the man that delights in the law of the Lord, that values the Word of God, that understands the principles of God will see you through every time, that recognizes the Word for what it really is, the inerrant, committed Word that God has given to us whereby we could know Him, look in the mirror of the Word and see who He is and what He has for us and what He wants us to do. And in whatever He does, He prospers, is an amazing statement. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. That's the part of the wheat that's just the outward hull. It just blows away with the wind. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So there are two ways. The way of the righteous, which is going to flourish. The way of the wicked, which will perish. And I want to learn God's ways. So let's go right into the Word, back into James. Goes right into verse 23, 24, 25, and he talks about blessing. In fact, in verse 25, it says, this man will be blessed in what he does. Doesn't that sound like how blessed is the man? Doesn't this sound like he'll be blessed in whatever he does? Blessing is to have the touch of God on your life, to have the hand of God on your life, to have the favor of God on your life, to have the healing of God in your life, to have the salvation of the Lord in your house, to have prayers answered, to see goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, to see impact and effectiveness, push and crowd out futility, to see vibrancy come in where there's a tendency toward depression, to see dysfunction of past generations cease with the covenant you make with Christ, to have the blessing of God. There's a verse in Deuteronomy 28 that says, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. There's something about laying on of hands. There's something about putting your hand to the plow and laying hands on the sick and speaking blessing and believing God. And it's amazing. I'm telling you, there's a richness in Christ that is available to us. Amen. Listen to this. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. There are a lot of deluded people. A lot of times we like to blame the devil. A lot of times we like to blame other people for our position in life. But the fact of the matter is, this verse says that when we're just hearers, we delude ourselves. I have to admit, there have been a lot of things in my life that just traced right back to me. Devil didn't make me do it, just my flesh and my stupid choices. But I see these verses and I'm inspired. It says, prove yourselves to be a doer of the word. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who sees his face in the mirror. He looks away and he forgets immediately what kind of person he is. It reminds me of that house built on the sand. Person that doesn't do what God's word says. He builds a house, but it's on a faulty foundation. When you build your house on the rock of God's word, and I don't know how to get this over in any simple terms except to say that when the word says something a certain way, we should do it that way. Like, for example, if the Bible says to forgive people, we have to give our life to forgiveness. The Bible says don't worry, then we that have tendencies to anxiety and anxiousness and worry, we've got to realize it's sin and repent of it. If we've got weaknesses in our flesh and areas where we certainly want to run to those things and fulfill desires in an unrighteous way, the Bible says He's called us to crucify our flesh and present our body a living sacrifice. Be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Bless those who curse us. Give and it'll be given. Preach the gospel. Pray for the sick. We're supposed to do what the Bible says to. The Bible says to pray, we pray. The Bible says to serve, we serve. The Bible says to crucify apathy, then the complacency of fools will destroy them. Then I want to deal with apathy and complacency in my life. I want to be on fire for God. I don't want to be lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, He'll spit you out, and if He likes us to be hot or cold, I want to be on fire. Lukewarm is room temperature, just like the atmosphere, but hot or cold is deliberate. So come on, man, I'm either going to be chilling or I'm going to be cooking. But I don't want to be neutral. I don't want to be tepid. You ever take a tepid bath? You ever drink some cold coffee? Neutral, it's good to have iced coffee. You can go over and pay $8 and get a frappuccino, latte, grande, venti, whatever. Cold or hot, You get pumpkin flavor now for the fall and all cost $8. Anyway, the one who looks intently at the perfect law, verse 25, What does that sound like? Looks intently at the perfect law. It's meditating in the Word. And what is meditating? It's pondering. It's thinking about it. It's speaking it out of your mouth. I was driving down Chesterfield Airport Road the other day, and I got into the intersection, and I was saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm just having this flow coming out of my lips. And as I pulled up to the intersection, this guy looked over at me, and he saw me, and he as soon as he could, he lunged out of there, you know? Like he thought I was going to get out of the car and go talk to him, you know? But I was in there talking, and there was nobody else in the car, you know? But man, I you know, it's something I've learned to do. It's like, you got to speak God's word. You know, that's part of what meditation is. Listen, when that guy was in the airport and he was doing his thing, there was like a 30-foot circumference around him of no man's land. It was like, you think it was a minefield, but I was like, right on. You know, I walked by the guy and I was like, right on. You know, the guy, I know what you're doing. You're meditating on the word. And I do it, only I don't have all the phylacteries and stuff, but I'm meditating on the word because I want Psalm 1 and James 1 results. Look at this. This man will be blessed in what he does. God wants us to walk in blessing. God wants us to choose blessing and not cursing. This is a vital message tonight because it shows us detail on how to get out of the pit that some of us have gotten into. And it's to meditate in the Word day and night. Now, right away, we start dropping off because we don't feel like candidates. Some of us don't like to read. Some of us think it's kind of weird to talk to yourself. Some of you wonder, how do you ever know and understand the Scriptures anyway? So I'm going to just back out. No, listen, meditating on the Word day and night could be as simple as just starting your day and ending your day with just some Scriptures. Turn off the TV, turn off all the other distractions, and just spend some time meditating on and pondering what God has said and what God is doing from His Word. Spend some time. Choose some areas of Scripture. Go to Philippians chapter 4 if you're worried. And you know, it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure and honorable and lovely and of good report and worthy of praise and so forth, any virtue and any praise, think on these things and the God of peace will be with you. And you just meditate on that and just what things are lovely and of good report. If you got a worry thing, go to Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus said over and over again, take no thought for your life. Don't be anxious about anything. With everything, you know, it said over back in Philippians, with everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So you can get straightened out in a worry moment. I think worry, the habit of worrying is worse than the habit of nicotine. Can we talk here? Because it doesn't add a single cubit to your lifespan. It subtracts it. And in fact, it's like the opposite of faith. It's saying, God, wait a minute. I don't really trust you. I trust my circumstances. I'm freaking out. It's basically saying, I think the devil may have an upper hand. No, God is infinitely greater. And when we draw near to Him and say, okay, I'm going to deal with this worry habit and I'm going to get over it. You come into the kingdom and you say, okay, God, I don't want to be a forgetful hearer. I want to look in the mirror. And it's being an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. Did you hear that? Yeah. He's going to be blessed in what he does. Everybody say blessed. Blessed. What will we be like? We'll be like a tree. Missouri is filled with trees. I love Missouri. I was driving down the road and there was a tractor trailer load of giant walnut logs. And I thought, that's got to be destined for some furniture place because it was just thick, chocolate brown, gigantic. It looked like a 320-year-old tree. It was huge, and these giant logs. I mean, it was like, it was worth its weight in gold. And it just had, knowing what I know about wood, that tree took a long time, and it didn't have any holes in it. It wasn't hollow. It was just a big, giant, massive, beautiful Missouri walnut. And it, you could tell, had grown an ideal situation. Well, we are given an ideal position, planted by the streams of water, planted in the house of the Lord. Our roots go down deep, and we draw up rivers of living water. We drink from the wells of salvation. Are you hearing me? Yeah. We actually have been put in an amazing advantage being in God and having Jesus in our hearts. What happens as we have those roots going down deep? We start having this interesting phenomenon called yielding fruit. God has anointed you and me to bear fruit. And this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Prayer fruit. serving fruit, healing, praying, miracles, souls. He that is wise wins souls. God has planted us to, in this environment where we can be blessed. How blessed is the man? This man will be blessed in whatever he does. I'm telling you, I'm getting back to some things here. God does not want us under mediocre, halfway. He wants us in full-blown, radical blessing. He said, these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. He said, he'll bless your storehouse and your kneading bowls. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I absolutely believe God wants to bless his people. It's emphatic throughout the Word of God. It is absolutely appropriate to trust him for it. It's not just an American dream modification of theology. It is, in fact, something God originated. He tells Joshua, he says, look, meditate on my word day and night. Be careful to do it so that you could be, you'll do what I call you to do, and you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That is significant because God has designated for each one of us in this place an atmosphere of high-level effectiveness, high-level impact, high-level fruitfulness. You are planted by the streams of water in order that you would yield fruit. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he said, be ready in season and out of season. Yeah. So listen, there's an idea that there are seasons, and we know that. We're coming into fall and winter, but there's winter wheat, man. I mean, in Missouri, there are people that they'll go plow up the ground and they'll plant a whole other crop of wheat, and there are farmers that are just so wild. It's like, it's not good enough just to have the summer crop. I'm going to go out and plant winter crop. And there need to be believers like that who go, yeah, cool, I've got a summer crop, but I've also got a winter crop. Yeah. Like Paul's telling Timothy, hey, be ready and bear fruit in season and bear fruit out of season. Yeah. So the notion there is, when we're the planting of the Lord, when we're meditating on his word, we're taking action and we're becoming doers of the word. For example, people offend you, what do? You bless those who curse you. You get in an attitude of lifestyle and habit where you refuse to harbor a grudge, you're going to create an atmosphere of incredible blessing on your life. There's a lot of scripture committed to put aside malice and bitterness and anger and wrath. Don't take vengeance for yourself. I mean, there are a lot of verses. Why? Because there are a lot of offenses. Because we're living in a fallen, messed up world. Right? Yet God has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Yielding fruit is our call. In its season, and your leaf does not wither. I like that. It's good. And then it says here, and whatever he does, he prospers. Whatever he does, he prospers. So I figure, okay, we're raising kids. It's non-negotiable. All my kids are for signs and wonders. Married, made a covenant. I made promises. I'm sticking with it. Church, it's going to have the impact God's intended. Yes. Preach the gospel, he'll confirm his word with signs following. Yes. I'm going to work, I'm doing my work heartily unto the Lord, I'm trusting God, he's going to do something great in my work environment. Yes. If things downsize or change, God will plant me in a better place. That's the attitude you got to have.
Absolutely.
Because we're the planting of the Lord.
Right.
Now, meditating on the word gets you in a place where it becomes a reference point in your heart. Where you hear the Word of God, you meditate on the Word of God. When you're in a situation, the voice of God's Word rises up. It actually can become louder than the voice of the flesh. As realistically as you can educate your mind, and as realistically as you can develop strength for your physical body, you can develop your spiritual walk with God. And this man that's meditating on the word is not doing push-ups, and he's not just educating himself with knowledge. He's connecting with God. His roots are going down into the rivers of God, and he's bearing amazing and interesting fruit. How blessed is the man? This man will be blessed in what he does. Whatever you put your hand to will prosper. These are amazing concepts. And it all has to do with connecting with and fellowshipping with God and spending time in this book. I want to encourage you to get into the Word and just meditate on it and just look at it. And I thank God through Jesus Christ, who always causes me to triumph. You know, by His stripes, I am healed. sickness tries to seize your body, you go, wait a minute, Jesus is my healer. When discouragement tries to mount up in your life, you say, wait a minute, David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. Only be strong and very courageous. You could spend time in God's Word. Last Monday, I had a very difficult day. And Tuesday, I was on a 3-hour flight, and I had my laptop, and I could watch the episodes of Lost. And I had my iPod, and I could listen to some music or something. But I just felt like I needed to listen to the Word. And it wasn't like, well, I'm Pastor Jeff, and I need to listen to the Word because I'm going to be preaching. No, it's because my tank was on E. So I started tanking up. And I mean, man, it got where I never turned on that Lost. I didn't listen to any music, I don't think. It was just all Word, Word, Word. There were some sermons on my iPod. I listened to about 2.5 hours of sermons. Because it was so washing my soul and bringing me back into encouragement. It changed me. The difference between Monday and Tuesday was amazing. Because on Monday, it was like I just was discouraged. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. And my flesh had gained dominance. Does that make sense to you? Has anybody ever heard of that ever happening to people? You say, well, Pastor, you've been a Christian forever and you're a pastor. I know. And it's embarrassing to say it. Yet I'll just say it. Just say it, just maybe for the help, for your benefit. Because going into the Word and meditating on the Word snapped me right out of it. And it brought me back into a place of, wait a minute, oh yeah, how blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. So listen, start meditating on the Word 5-10 minutes in the morning. Just turn everything else off. Start your day going into a proverb or into a psalm. There are people in here who have been dealt a very bizarre hand, but what are they doing? They're going right back to God's Word. They're going right back. God told me to pray, I'm going to pray. Men ought to always pray and not faint. I know people in here who could have fainted along the way, who could have checked out with discouragement, who could have got an alcohol problem, or could have got back into just chasing after somebody else since somebody else left them, but instead they're chasing after God. They're disciplining themselves and they're going deep with the Lord. And what's happening? Prosperity is coming all over them. Some of them are in the middle of their process right now, so it's their testimony. But I'm watching and observing. That man is blessed in whatever he does because he's the planning of the Lord, because he's chosen in the midst of this incredible trial to press into God and meditate on his Word, to show up at prayer, to show up at church, to keep seeking God, to not grow bitter, to bless those who curse them, to pray mercy on people, and to move forward. And I'm watching God just add layer upon layer upon layer of restoration, of benefit, of blessing, coming right back on their life. Here's what we do. We meditate, we mutter, we speak His Word, we do the Word. Listen, we're not allowed to harbor resentment. How many of you have ever had somebody to forgive? Stay in the forgiveness mode. One time I talked to a lady, I was praying for her, I said, you're going to need to forgive your mom. I won't forgive her. She drifted away into oblivion with bitterness. On the other hand, I've watched people just forget it. Hallelujah. Just forgive. Listen, we can get our minds renewed and get our lives altered by meditating on the Word of God. If you're heavily prone to worry, God can liberate you into a place of faith. Yeah. If you get in a bitter thing or a caustic thing with your tongue, God can help you to be with your mouth and turn sarcasm into something more positive where your words are, Ephesians 4:29, edifying to the hearer. If you get in this dark, melancholy thing, I read my personality profile and I am dark and melancholy. You can say, okay, then where I'm weak, then I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be a praiser and I'm going to worship God. I'm not going to fake it. I'm just going to praise God and I'm going to get through this. If you're super analytical, then study the Word and become absolutely aware of how faithful and how good God is. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now that there is a blessing on being a doer of the Word. There's a blessing on meditation. There's a blessing on fellowship with you. And so, God, tonight we just commit to pressing into the Word of God. I pray, Father, you would cause us to have an insatiable hunger for things of righteousness, the things of the Spirit. I pray right now, God, you would turn this fall and winter into Bible intake era. I pray we get in the Word and the Word gets in us. I pray every waking moment there's such an insatiable hunger that comes upon all of us, our whole church family, for your Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. God, we just flat out commit to meditation on the Word. And God, forgive us for past distractions. Help us to get a hunger and a renewed capacity. I pray, God, we have a love affair with the Word of God, just a fresh fellowship with Jesus, where we get so into the Word and the Word gets so rooted into us, we start to see all kinds of very cool results. Like you're glorified, like you're most honored, Jesus. Like we get more prayers answered than we ever have in our lives. That we see things through the eye of faith instead of worry. That God, we start to see how we can change the nations of the world instead of being conformed to this world. That you've anointed us to make a meaningful difference in our time and our lifespan. God, I pray if there's anybody in here that has just fallen out of sync with all this, that there'd be a real healing and a real redemptive move in their heart, God, and they get restored back into fellowship with you. I pray right now you move mightily on people's hearts, God, and arrest people right where they're at. God, I pray if there are people that feel like they're just at their last leg and their last breath, I pray you revive them in a spirit of faith. If there are people in here who are not saved, God, I pray they give their heart to Jesus tonight. God, I ask that you move mightily on people's lives. God, I thank you that you ever lived to make intercession for us. Lord Jesus, you're the author and the finisher. You are faithful. You are calling us into something of amazing fruitfulness. We are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which you prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Thank you, God, that you are leading us into more fruitfulness. I pray that you open up more doors. I pray you bless these guys at work. I pray you bless these ladies at home and ladies at work. I pray you minister to the people in this place that are in retirement season. I pray you move mightily on our young people, that they get lit on fire for Jesus. I pray for a revival in our youth and our children's ministry. I pray, God, you cause blessing to flow. I thank you, God, that all these buildings and all these lands that you've called us to are being paid for. I thank you, God, you're providing for us to address the disasters in the world that's fallen apart around us. And I thank you, the word is going forth mightily out of this place. God, I thank you for moving mightily in people's lives in here. God, I thank you that you're helping us to prosper in what we do. I'm going to take a survey. How many of you like the idea of being blessed in whatever you do? Let me see your hands. Is that appealing to you? Listen, I think you should renew your interest in the whole idea. I propose to you that it's healthy and honorable and God-honoring to say, okay, Lord, bring it on. I'm trusting you. I want to see greater breakthrough, higher levels of victory. I want to chase off the oppression, and I'm trusting you for more and more of the blessing of God in my life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Listen, I have it on my heart. I want to see you guys prosper. God wants you to prosper. Now, see, prosper is huge. That doesn't just mean some sort of superficial materialism. It means a deep, rich, abiding, life-changing thing with God. Blessings. These blessings shall come upon you and overtake you is a cool concept. I don't want to live below our provision. Do you? No, man, I want to trust God for more and more of His blessing to flow. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! God, I pray a supernatural strengthening on the people in this room. I pray you move mightily in this place of the people on the left and the people on the right. God, I pray their hearts would be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray people get rescued from the oppression of the devil. They get free from the things that the enemy's tried to use to seize them. I pray for renewal and a strengthening on the inside. I pray there be a supernatural outpouring of provision. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move in this place. Spirit of God, I thank you for moving like a rushing mighty wind in the day of Pentecost. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Your Son, Jesus Christ, destroyed the work of the devil. He has been and forever will be the Son of God, risen from the dead and coming back. And we set our hope on Him and we purify ourselves even as He is pure. And we thank you for doing a refining work in this hour. I pray for abundance. I pray for debt reduction. I pray for healing. I pray for the blessings of God, for wisdom and strength and grace to pour out in this place. And I give you all the praise for it, and I thank you for it, God. I trust you to bring it to pass. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.